we can do incredible things from like a technological medical care standpoint, right? Like there's been incredible advances in healthcare and with the, some of the things that we have in terms of like stopping bleeds and doing all these things, right, to prolong life. But I knew that there was a gap there just in terms of, you know, what we were able to do in terms of like preventing re-injury.
Just so you know, this episode is going to take us into a hospital emergency room and will include descriptions of gun violence.
It was the night of April 2nd, 2022, and Chuck was having a great time.
He was at his mom's best friend's birthday party. And then, he says, some random folk showed up.
Some outside people. I guess they got too drunk and high. So the girl got into it with my mama. I don't know how that happened. But I was seeing her looking like she was about to grab towards my mama first off. I wouldn't let nobody harm my mama. You get what I'm saying? So I already saw it. My auntie was there too. So my auntie is my mama's little baby sister. She saw that, spazzed out. They was beating the girl up, and they threw him out the party. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened. So when they threw them out, she had her dude there, the girl. They threw him out too. You know what I'm saying? So I guess he felt some type of way about that. So when the party got over, once it was over, they were still waiting outside the party. And they shot the first car up that came down the block. And I was in the car with my sister.
A bullet grazed Chuck's shoulder.
You get what I'm saying? When I ducked, I had like my shoulder up and it went straight through right here. So... yeah.
Next thing he knew, Chuck's coming to in a hospital bed in Detroit's Sinai Grace emergency room, and there's some guy talking to him.
When I woke up, he was there talking to me as I'm coming and sobering up. He was saying all good stuff, positive things, things that I ain't hear in a long time.
The guy talking was an ER doctor.
My name is Tolu Lopez Shanui. And so I work as an emergency medicine physician out here in Detroit.
All I heard was his voice and then seeing his face as I started to come and got to talking back to him. And we clicked from there. Right now, I knew I wasn't going to remember half the stuff he was saying because I still was coming too. But what he was saying, I'm hearing it. I'm like, that sounds better than half the things that I've been hearing. You know what I'm saying? So when I was hearing all positive, I'm like, yeah, that's just a sign for me.
Tolu and Chuck kept talking, and Tolu learned this was the third time Chuck had been shot in 1 year.
From like a health standpoint, that's a red flag, right? In the sense of like, this individual may be down the path of a premature death, you know, or ending up back incarcerated, right? Or maybe, you know, being in a situation where they got to defend themselves against somebody else, you know? And so, you know, we have a chance to sort of like, it's a space to be able to explore some of that, you know what I mean? And I hope that at the end of that time, like, he does more of the talking than I do. And I'm just there, right? I'm just there as a vessel, just in that space, just for him to talk and build.
I'm Casey Rashto, the communications director at the Detroit Justice Center.
And I'm Amanda Alexander, the founding executive director of DJC. And this is Freedom Dreams, the show where we know another world is possible.
Because we're talking to the people who are building it.
And one of those people is Dr. Tolu.
I am the founder and director of DLive, which stands for Detroit Life is Valuable Every Day. And DLive is really a health-centered violence intervention program that's designed to work with young folks who've been impacted by community violence. So meeting them at this time of injury and kind of working with them from there.
So this season, we're thinking about violence from a bunch of different vantage points and what folks are doing to prevent it in the first place. Or prevent it from happening again.
Right. We know Tolu's work with DLive because, full disclosure, our organization, the Detroit Justice Center, partners with DLive. Back in 2018, we established a health justice partnership where we team up to provide wraparound support to young people who have survived violence, things like gunshot wounds. Our staff attorneys assist DLive members with legal issues like suspended licenses, outstanding warrants, tickets, fines, custody matters. Together, we help our shared clients avoid re-injury, resolve their court obligations, find jobs, and reconnect them with their kids. I remember a few years ago, one client who woke up in the hospital bed after being shot, and he found that he was handcuffed to the bed, not because of anything related to the gun violence. He hadn't done anything wrong, but because he had warrants out for his arrest for unpaid traffic tickets. He had never gotten a valid driver's license, but he needed to drive, so he had all of these tickets and warrants, like so many Detroiters do. One of our staff attorneys worked with him to clear all the traffic tickets, clear the court debt and warrants, and get his first driver's license. And that allowed him to get a job and an apartment. And this is the case for a lot of young people, that a barrier to getting them on track after they've been shot is these things like warrants. So we partner with DLive to remove barriers like that. And when we were planning this second season of Freedom Dreams, DLive was one of the first projects I thought of because they found a way to actually interrupt cycles of violence. And it's a solution rooted in care, coming from a public health framework that asks, what are the root causes of the violence? What are the social determinants of health that make it more likely that someone will experience re-injury? The criminal punishment system talks a big game about centering the needs of crime victims or violence survivors, but DLive is actually doing it. They're asking people, what do you need in your life so that this never happens to you again? An apartment in a new neighborhood? Do you need a well-paying job, a valid driver's license? Do you need a support network and someone to talk through your problems with? We've got you.
DLive is part of a growing movement of hospital-based violence intervention programs that combine the work of ER doctors and nurses along with community-based partners to provide services and trauma-informed care to people experiencing cycles of violence. Dr. Tolu founded DLive in 2016.
In general, I was seeing the loss of life, people dying at 16, 17, 23, 24, 25. And it wasn't always death, right? Sometimes you would just see, you know, disability and somebody, you know, being shot and, you know, getting paralyzed, or this is like their second or third time being shot and they want something more, they want something different. And I think having this state of sometimes helplessness, knowing that, like, you know, we can do incredible things from like a technological medical care standpoint, right? Like there's been incredible advances in healthcare. And with some of the things that we have in terms of like stopping bleeds and doing all these things, right, to prolong life. But I knew that there was a gap there just in terms of, you know, what we were able to do in terms of like preventing re-injury. You know, the sort of like that sick feeling in your stomach when you got to go and let a mother know about her child not making it, you know, and you already know what you are going to have to say, where you gotta end up, but you never know how you're gonna say it. You never know how that reaction is gonna go. But that's sort of like, it's just heart-wrenching, you know, it's heart-wrenching. And that's something that as much as I need to be able to sort of like flow to the next case and do the next thing, like those sort of things, they stick with you and they have a lot of like gravitational pull, I think, on your psyche and on your conscience. And I think having more than one of those situations, it's a lot. You know, we had one case, I think it was an individual in their, early 20s, and they didn't make it in the trauma center. But when it came down to sort of, reviewing their case and, you know, and documenting the things, like just from like a medical standpoint, you know, seeing that individual was just there 2 months prior with another injury, right? An injury that was not as severe at that time. And just thinking about the opportunity that was missed in order to be able to sort of like change the outcome of his life, you know what I mean? That could have been possible. And so those sort of things that sort of like stuck with me and definitely served as inspiration for this, because it was a big gap, you know, that we're missing, I think, just in terms of, I think, putting some equity in this space, you know, around community violence.
After a short break, we'll be back with Chuck and Dr. Tolu to try to understand how filling in gaps is among the most profound work we can do to decrease violence.
Hello, I'm Donovan McCarty, and I'm a staff attorney in the Detroit Justice Center's Legal Services and Advocacy Practice. The reason I became a lawyer was to combat injustice and stand up for the most marginalized people in our society. And at DJC, I'm able to do that by directly representing clients and advocating policy changes that break apart the foundations of systemic oppression. As a movement lawyer, I take my lead from activists and community members who are directly impacted by the criminal punishment system. If you want to support our work, you should donate to DetroitJustice.org/donate. Thank you.
So based on what you were seeing, you created this incredible organization, DLive. And so I would love for you to just talk a little bit about what it is that you do in terms of, you know, bridging those gaps that you were seeing and providing supports that weren't there. And then I'm eager to bring Chuck into the conversation.
I think at a basic level, you know, I like to think of ourselves as sort of like a space for healing, you know, a space for healing for people to be able to sort of like pause, take a chance to sort of like take time out, pause, reflect. And how do we design solutions and strategies to sort of like get at some of the things that may have led an individual to our trauma center in the first place? You know, we work on issues around employment and education. Some of the things that may not be readily apparent are sort of legal barriers that people have, right? Legal barriers that people have to be able to be civically engaged, right? Whether it's like, you know, a lot of tickets or even just being able to navigate sort of like a legal system, things in relationships. I think one of our core tenets is really addressing underlying trauma. That comes in the form of, you know, having spaces where people's minds, opportunities for people to get their minds healthy, right? And really addressing that issue of mental health and underlying trauma. And not only, and I think that's an important sort of issue to harp on or to touch on, because it's, people have, there's consequences of the trauma, right? There's consequences of the trauma that result in sort of like increased depression and substance abuse and PTSD. But as Chuck and I have sort of like talked and things of that nature in the past, there's also underlying trauma that sometimes leads to the trauma in the first place, right? So things that sort of like go back decades, you know, that start like, in, you know, in childhood and elementary school and adolescence. And so that's another core component of our, of things that we do and we address. And so we're a multidisciplinary team that's composed of, you know, engagement specialists and mental health therapists, social workers, program managers, public health experts, and really coming together and, you know, and working with young people to sort of, you know, design these sort of like, you know, these plans and pathways to help improve people's health outcomes. And they address some of these areas where people need some of that support.
I think the really important thing about DLive is, in addition to the mental health services they link members up with, they also help people like Chuck fill in some of the seemingly minor but hugely important gaps, like getting your driver's license.
I just told you, I still never had my license, so I'm about to be having none. That's going to feel good.
Yes.
My mama, she older than me about 2 times my age. She still ain't got hers.
Really?
She drive every day since I can remember. If I call her, she'd come over here right now from the suburbs. Still never had her license.
Like so many folks in the city. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's such an important thing, right? Because that's like for a lot of young people, for a lot of people, right? Like that's the model of normalcy. That's quite normal. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the no license, that's quite normal. We talked about in the past about violence being normal, right? You know what I mean? Violence being normal for a lot of people.
Where
just sort of like
from, that's where stuff that people do, they don't know that they'll go to jail. Or they do, they just don't care. But I was living different until they came. Really. Like, no goals, nothing, not really caring about future stuff, day by day, living like that.
So before you went into the hospital, before that happened, could you just walk, this is for Chuck, can you walk us through just what a day in your life was like and how it's changed, like what sort of differences there are?
Well, first, I don't just go to people parties now. I used to go to any party. But nah, I'm cautious on that. So if it ain't family or, you know, people I can see that's going to be nice out there, I'm not going. And every day, I was living terrible. I told you I was living day by day. You know what I'm saying? Like day by day. Now I got future plans. So it's different.
Yeah, what are some of your future plans? What do you want to be doing?
Now I'm getting my GED. Finally about to get licensed at 29. Like, so a lot of different things just changed. Moving forward, job. I didn't care about jobs. I do now. Really need it.
Chuck pulls up the goal sheet he's been working on with folks from DLive.
All right. This is my goal sheets. First is education is on here, because I have to get my GED to attain the trade that I'm going for. And the trade I'm going for is basically like carpentry, learn to put electricity into walls, to how to build roofs on houses, to put walls on houses. Basically training, 4 years of training. And you're going to learn how to do it, LA. And they taking and paying you to do it for 4 years. Then my next goal, after I done did all that, I'm trying to get a house of my own. I got everything on here. I'm just trying to do it. Okay, let me see. I got the house. Now I'm going for my own business. And now I know how to build and everything. You feel me? So I'm going to be able to build my own business and do everything right. And last but not least, business still taking off. Kids learned the way that I needed them to learn. And probably running a business or a better business or doing something else.
I know, and just from what I've seen of DLive, it's been powerful to see that it's not just the, you know, the staff or the people who are, you know, on the team that are supporting, but also the relationships among the DLive members, you know, the participants. Have you been able to experience that much, or like support of the group, of some of the kind of peers in the organization?
Yes, there've been people in there that's already been there for years. Yeah, so mm-hmm. You know, they good people too. And there's new people coming. I mean, I met them too. People changing as they go. You're going to really change when you see you got good support. You can't be negative with all these positive people because it ain't going to work. But that was crazy because I ain't had no guidance, man. Everything is guiding. Like when you growing up in the hood, man, you growing up to be the next devil, man, demon, or whatever. You get what I'm saying? There's nothing positive about it. They teach you to go crazy. If somebody disrespect you, stab them, shoot them, smack them, beat them up. Like, why is that is the best option? That is not. You get what I'm saying? You'll never know, man. Positivity back then would have went a long way. But, yeah, life going to be good, though, for sure, from here on, because I can't see myself backtracking to do stuff I used to do. Then I got two kids now, so I'm super dead.
How old are your kids?
6 months and 3 years.
Beautiful.
I can't go back. I can't do anything to risk me to go to jail. Anything to risk me to be out my kids' life. You know what I'm saying? So the positive way is always good, because once you a good citizen, who checking you? Nobody. Ain't nobody really messing with you.
Chuck's desire not to go back or to be re-injured is actually backed up by the fact that DLive has dropped re-injury rates enormously. Without the program, people were likely to return to the ER with another gunshot wound or worse within 3 to 4 months. In the first several years of the program, DLive had more than 100 participants and less than 1% of them were re-injured. So the podcast is called Freedom Dreams. And so the question that we ask of all of our guests, what is your freedom dream?
You know, one of my freedom dreams is, again, for people to be able to have, I think, full intentional will to be able to explore their dreams and their passions and pursuits in as healthy a way as possible without it being dictated, you know, by their environment and by their zip code. You know, so often we see a lot of people's sort of outcomes being dictated by just the cars that they were given in terms of like where their zip code is, you know what I mean, and where they grew up. So being able to have environments and communities and things of that nature where these legacies of historical and generational trauma really start to dissipate, you know, and people's outcomes really aren't dictated by their by their coordinates in terms of where they grew up.
Thank you. How about you, Chuck?
My freedom dream is my kids going to school and wanting to go to college, preparing for it in high school. Like, that's what they doing, wanting to. So when they want to, that's my freedom dream right there.
I remember asking Dr. Tolu in a conversation a while back, like, what are your wildest dreams for DLive and for this program? And he said, I would love for there to be trauma centers like this in every hospital across the state of Michigan for people who needed it, but there's no funding. And I said, well, wait, there is. It's just that we're spending it all on jails and police and prisons.
I do like the idea of closing it with the idea that if it were, if we used funding wisely, we could have programs like this in hospitals across the state. It doesn't have to be this sort of specialized, sort of nuanced thing that just DLive does, but that this should be the way that we treat violence sort of systemically.
Another thing I think about that's so powerful with DLive is they're walking the walk in terms of like what it means to actually support survivors of harm and crime and violence. And that the, you know, the typical person who we've been trained to have come to mind, who's a, you know, crime victim, is often like a wealthy white woman. But actually, if you look at who is disproportionately harmed by violence, it is young Black men, 15 to 34 years old. And they're the ones who need to be wrapped around and supported with programs like these. And so I think it goes a long way to helping us think about who is really impacted by harm and violence. And what is it really going to take beyond just like rhetoric to support those people?
Dr. Tolu forgot to mention a few things in the interview, and we want to make sure you get to hear them before we go.
Man, I forgot to tell about one of our young people, two people, you know, graduating high school recently, one of them going off to college, the other one leveling up with his work. Man, this one guy, you know, getting employed at one of his dream jobs is a culinary chef guy. Yeah, so I forgot a couple of those things, you know? My bad, I forgot that.
Freedom Dreams is a production of the Detroit Justice Center. Special thanks to our team, Zach Rosen, our producer.
The Freedom Dreams theme song is by Asante. Artwork is by Gunner and Hobbs. If you want to learn more about today's episode, head to freedomdreamspodcast.com. Email us a voice memo of your freedom dream at freedomdreams@detroitjustice.org.
You can also write to us on social media. We're Freedom Dreams Pod on Instagram and Freedom Dream Pod on Twitter. That's one single dream.
If you feel compelled to donate to the work that we do, you can find us at detroitjustice.org/donate.
And lastly, if you love this show and want us to find a wider audience, please leave us a rating or review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify.